speaking daily at town hall meetings throughout Ulster, Green, and Dutchess counties. Sharp energetically began recruiting soldiers. He became a zealous salesman. When one village proved indifferent to contributing men, Sharp, in a show of bravado, offered to return his colonel's commission to the governor and enlist as a private from the village to help meet its obligation. The village soon offered up 7 men. The spring lung infection dogging him, Sharp drove himself to near physical exhaustion organizing his regiment. But he made steady progress. As volunteers enlisted, he sent them to Camp Sampson for training. In a little more than 3 weeks, Sharp had recruited 906 men. The ladies of Kingston and nearby Ellenville presented the unit with a silk regimental flag they had sewn for them to carry into battle. A speechless Sharp was overcome with emotion from the gift. He knew the pain his men felt leaving loved ones, some perhaps for good. Early Sunday morning, August 24th, Sharp marched his regiment to Rondout on the Hudson River, where the steamer Manhattan carried the men down to New York City. At City Hall Park, some of the soldiers received old muskets from army stores, but no other equipment. A ferry took them to Jersey City that afternoon, where they boarded boxcars for an uncomfortable train ride to Philadelphia. The next morning, they were crammed into the boxcars once more for the ride to Baltimore and finally to Washington on August 27th, where they bivouacked on the street near the train station for the rest of the night. The Washington that Sharp passed through the next morning to reach Arlington Heights was gloomy over the war's progress and steamy from the usual August heat, that month and September always bringing on the most disease. Everything seemed to be going wrong for the president, his hope of bringing the conflict to a speedy end dashed. In the days after the Peninsula campaign, Washington had been flooded with dead or wounded soldiers. The federal government converted hotels, churches, schools, and homes into military hospitals. Union officers killed in battle were packed in charcoal, shipped to the Capitol first, and then sent home in coffins by train. As in Richmond, Washington fell short in giving fallen soldiers honorable burials. Coffins were often poorly sealed. Funeral trains were delayed. Embalming parlors multiplied, the practice becoming an environmental hazard from the chemicals used in these stench factories, as newspapers called them. Sharp was already gaining a reputation as a capable officer, clear-eyed about soon leading his men into combat. He would need the level-headedness that morning of August 28th. The battle, which soon would be called Second Manassas or Second Bull Run, was beginning.